Did you know that the God who created the whole universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every single day. That's right. And today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren brings his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God to a close. In this series, Rick reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. Okay, and now here's Rick with the final part of a message called Getting God's Vision for My Life.
Now, the very evidence, proof of something real exists is when there's a counterfeit of it. The counterfeit proves that there must be a reality. For instance, have you ever seen a counterfeit $4 bill? No. Why? Because there's no such thing as a real $4 bill. Nobody's going to counterfeit something that doesn't exist. Satan cannot create anything. Satan is not a creator. He's not God. He's a created being himself. Satan cannot create anything. He can only corrupt and pervert. God creates sex. Satan perverts sex. God creates money and wealth. Satan perverts money and wealth. God creates all of the great things in life. Satan corrupts and perverts them. He cannot create anything. All he can do is copy, corrupt, and pervert. So, there are real legitimate teachers in life who teach the truth, and there are false teachers. They're fakes. They're phonies. They're counterfeits. There are real prophets of God in life, and there are false prophets who lead people astray. There are real visions and real dreams that come from God, so there are false dreams and visions that come from Satan. They're phony. The reason that they're fake ones is because the real ones exist. You say, well, how do I know? How do I know when it's from God or Satan? You need to go back 2 weeks ago if you missed that message when I talked about the seven ways you test an impression. Because there's seven ways the Bible tells us to know whether that idea is from God or that idea is from Satan or that idea is from the burrito ate last night. Everything God creates, Satan tries to misuse and pervert. But it doesn't mean you give it up. I mean, Satan perverts sex. That means everybody's going to give it up? I don't think so. Satan perverts the use of money. Should everybody say, oh, forget money? No, I don't think so. No, you don't let him win. Now, you let God give you a picture in your mind. For many of you, I don't have to explain this because you are naturally visual thinkers. About half of you at least think visually. And when you read a story in the Bible, man, you can see that story in vivid technicolor. And when I say something, you can just picture it in your mind. So it's very easy for you. But for the rest of us, it's a little harder. I am not a typical visual thinker. I don't think typically in pictures. I tend to think actually in words. So how do you watch in prayer if you're not a visual thinker? See, over and over, Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Can you not watch with me? Because vision comes through the eyes, not through the ears. It comes through seeing in the mind's eye. That's when we sing that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Remember that song? Open the eyes of my heart. You're saying, Lord, help me to see with my mind what I can't see with my eyes or hear with my ears. That's what you're saying when you sing that song. So how do you watch in prayer if you don't normally see in pictures? Maybe you're like me. Let me give you two things. Write these down. Number one, ask God a specific question. You ask God a specific question. In your quiet time, you're sitting there in your backyard. You've read the Bible for a little while. You've prayed, maybe talked to the Lord a little. Now you're just being quiet and you're just sitting there. You are waiting before God, which means you're not saying anything. You're not reading. You're not praying. You're just waiting before God. And you can ask a question like, Jesus, is there anything you want to say to me? And you just wait. Is there anything I need to know that I'm not thinking about? And you just wait. You can ask God a specific question. Over 20 times we're told to ask in the Bible. Look at this verse, James 1:5. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. For he's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. There's that word again, ask. But when you ask him, there's that word again. He's saying, I want you to ask. When you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. God wants you to ask him for advice. You're not bothering him. He's waiting for you to ask. He wants you to be specific, build your faith, and he wants you to expect an answer. So ask. Second thing, look into God's word. Write this down. Look into God's word to see what God might want to say to you from the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 18, is a verse you should memorize. It's a good verse to just say in your quiet time. Lord, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful truths in your word. You see, friends, every answer to every problem you have is right here in this book. And the reason you have so many problems is you don't know this book. This is a closed book, even for many Christians. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to memorize it. You got to meditate on it. You got to spend time in it. You got to get a modern translation that you can understand, because the more you get in the word, God's will is found in God's word. And so you become a person, a woman of this word, a woman of the word, a man of the word. The answers are all here. And you say, Lord, show me. And so you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And you just start reading. And God will speak to you through his word. Now, once you've done that, you come to step five. And this is a fun one. Step five is write it down. I want to hear God speak. I withdraw to a quiet place. I wait patiently and quietly and expectantly. I watch in prayer. And I say, God, just give me a picture in my mind. What do you want to say to me? And I read the Bible. I ask questions, and then I write down, I record the ideas that I receive. Now, this is the fifth thing that Habakkuk does to get God's dream for his life. You gotta write it down. In fact, the Lord even tells him, it commands him, he says, the Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly. So some of your handwriting, you probably better use a laptop. The Lord said, write down clearly what I reveal to you. So Habakkuk does just that. That's how we got this book, the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 1, Habakkuk writes down what he says to God. And in chapter 2, he writes down what God says back to him. And we get the book of Habakkuk. That's how we got the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is David's quiet time. David meditated, he thought about, he visualized the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They're called the Torah, the law. David meditated on the Torah and then wrote down his meditations, and they're called Psalms. And in many of the Psalms, he just starts out with what he's feeling, and then he ends up with what God says. And sometimes he's pretty ticked off. Sometimes enemies are after him. He's being criticized and unjustly. He goes, God, I hate their guts. That's in the Bible. God, I hate their guts. People say, well, why do you call this Holy Bible if that's in the Bible? Because the Bible always tells the truth. It doesn't, you know, blitz over the negative parts of a person's life. And a lot of times David will start out and goes, God, I don't like this. This stinks. I don't like this at all. And this is mean. God, what kind of God are you? Did you know that you can get angry at God? He can handle it. When you say, God, you're not helping me right now. I need a little bit more help. God's not going to say, oh, well, I've never heard that before. God can handle your anger. You know what? He loves it when you're honest with him. Why? Because prayer is wrestling, and wrestling is a close contact sport. And as long as you're in contact with him, that's good, because he knows you're eventually going to end up in the right place. And at the end of the psalm, David, who's been complaining, saying, God, you're not much of a God. You're not helping me right now. He's going, okay, I know you're going to help me. And I know I need to trust you. And I know you got a plan that's bigger than my problem right now. And so, okay, Lord, you're it. I'm wrong. You're right. Okay, let's go. And we get the Psalms. He wrote it down. Now, if your prayer life is stuck in a rut, and you tend to pray the same things over and over and over, and you even got these little cliches, bless the gift and the giver. Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and the hands that prepared to it. Wah, 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 wah. A lot of prayers are like the teacher on Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. It's just like, saying nothing. You're saying nothing. Jesus said, their lips are praising me, but their hearts are far from me. So if you're always saying the same thing over and over, let me tell you what to do. Start writing out your prayers.
What?
Yeah, you can write them out. You mean I don't even have to say them? No. Writing them down is a prayer. God can hear it in your thought. And while you think your prayer out, just write it down. Write down a sentence. Write down another sentence. Write down another sentence. You just write out your prayer. Is it okay to write out a prayer and then read it? Of course it is. When you're writing it, you're praying. When you're reading it, you're praying. If you read it aloud, you're praying. This is called the spiritual habit of journaling. And all great Christians have understood this. Now, a journal is not a diary. A diary is about the things you did. Dear diary, today Billy gave me a kiss. So boring. Nobody cares about the fact that you took the laundry in today. But what they generations from now will be interested in is what you learned. The lessons you learned. The mistakes you made and how you learned from those things. And generations later would love to read that material because it's better to learn from the experience of others. So you write, what I do is I write down what I say to God and then I write down what God says to me. This is the fifth thing. Write it down. God says, write down what I reveal to you. Now, let me give you a couple suggestions on this. Go over to Target, buy yourself just one of those little three-ring notebooks, blank notebook, paper, whatever. Or you can get a real fancy one, whatever. And several different things you can do. You can take a page and divide it in two columns. And on one column, you write, this is what I said to God. And then you sit there, and then this is what God said to me. And you write that down. Another thing you can do is you can make two columns, say, here's my prayer request, and then you leave it blank until God answers it, and then when he answers it, you write in the answer and the date. That'll build your faith. Or another one to do is just take a page and write at the top of the page, yesterday, and write down, what did I learn yesterday about life, about love, about God, about money, sex, family, friends, and you write it down. And those lessons, I know there's a CEO in this church who's been keeping a journal for over 9 years. And he once told me, he said, 9 years ago, he said, I was laid off and I went through an over a year of unemployment. And he said, it was horrendous. And the scare and the fear and the anxiety I felt, I began taking a daily journal, writing down all of that stuff and the lessons that God taught me in that year that I was out of work. And then he said, recently, I got laid off again. And instead of me having to go back through and go through all those lessons and all that anxiety again, I just went back and read what I'd written 9 years earlier, and I didn't have to go through all that pain anymore. Because I remembered how God had taken care of me, and I could see how he had led me through that entire year. You see, some of you haven't been married 35 years. You've been married 1 year and you've lived that same year 35 times because you're not learning. And if you don't write it down, you forget. And some of the things you learned as a husband 10 years ago or 5 years ago, you've already forgotten. The shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. You got to write it down. So write it. Lord, what did you teach me from yesterday? What lesson did I miss? There's a lot of benefits to this. It helps you keep your thoughts clear. It helps you remember what God said to you. You can go back and review it. It helps you test an impression. If you think God has said something to you, you got an idea, you got a dream, you got a vision, you go and you take that to your small group and says, guys, let me check this out with you. Remember, that's one of the seven ways to test an impression. Test it with godly Christians. And you go to your small group and say, here's what I think God's saying to me. Anybody else confirm this? Anybody else think I'm on track? Did I miss it? Preserves a spiritual legacy for children, grandchildren, and on. The Bible says this. Write these things down for the future so that people who are not yet born will praise the Lord. You can have influence in the next generation and the generation after that if you'll keep a spiritual journal. Finally, number six is worship. That's the sixth W. I want it, I withdraw, I wait, I watch, I write, and then I worship. I thank God for speaking to me. I thank God for speaking to me. This is the natural response of hearing God speak to you. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "O Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe." When you receive response to God's, to a question you give God, it just makes you want to love him more. It just makes you want to love him more. You say, "Now, Rick, every time you have a quiet time, does God always speak to you? Through an impression? No. Through the Bible? Yes. Why doesn't God always speak to me through an impression, through a mental picture? Well, I can give you a dozen reasons why God might be silent. One of them might be, you can't handle the truth. You're not ready for it. If I told you what I'm going to do with your life, it would blow your mind. And you need to grow more. And I'm not going to tell you yet because you're not ready to handle it. And so you got to grow some more. I'm waiting for you to grow first. The timing is not right. There could be a lot of reasons God is silent. I want you to trust me. Sometimes God is saying, use your brain. If you ask a question like, "God, should I buy a Volvo or a Saab?" God's going to say, "Don't ask me that kind of question. I gave you a brain, you choose. Makes no difference to me, you choose. God, should I have broccoli or spinach in line today?" God's going to say, "Doesn't matter, as long as it's on the Daniel plan." Okay? Just don't have that greasy stuff, all right? Sometimes at the end of a quiet time, I'll say, "God, is there anything else you want to say to me? Is there anything else I've missed?" And a lot of times I just kind of get the feeling, "Nah, everything's okay. Everything's okay." Now, friends, what we've looked at today will revolutionize your life if you will do it. Now, if you listen to this, you don't do anything about it, it's going to do nothing for you. Short-term change, you focus on behavior. Long-term lifestyle change, you focus on changing the way you think. Let's bow our heads. You can't hear from God until you know God. And there are three levels of knowing God: recognition, acquaintance, and friendship. Some of you are at the recognition level. You know God exists, you just don't know him. Some of you are at the acquaintance level. You know him a little bit, but you're really still a little afraid of him. God wants you to be at the friendship level. And at a friendship level, you talk together all the time. You're in constant conversation. God wants to be your friend. He wants you to be his friend. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Father, I want to thank you that you love us enough to listen to us and to talk to us. And yet there's so many people here who've never experienced the joy of having a conversation in their minds with you. And there are others who only know you as an acquaintance. May this be the greatest turning point in their lives today. Now you pray. In your heart, say something like this: "Dear God, I am amazed that you would want me for a friend. I want to learn to have a conversation with you every day. Help me to practice these steps that Rick has taught me this week, and to share them with others. Thanks for caring about every detail of my life. That is amazing. Jesus Christ, I want to know you more and more, better and better every day. I want to learn to depend on your guidance in my job, my family, my future, every area of my life. I invite you to be the manager of every area of my life. In your name I pray. Amen."
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Hey, have you ever wished that you could hear from God? I mean, really hear His voice when you're facing a big decision, struggling with pain, or just feeling lost? Well, here's the amazing truth. The Creator of the universe wants to be your friend. And that's not just in theory, but in a real daily relationship. And how does that friendship grow? Through conversation. The good news is God is already speaking. The question is, are you tuned in? In this powerful new Bible study from Pastor Rick's Hearing the Voice of God series, you'll discover how to recognize when God's speaking, how to hear Him with greater clarity, and how to turn your prayers from a monologue into a life-changing dialogue. This four-week study is full of practical teaching, guided prayers, thought-provoking questions, and simple tools to help you connect with God in a deeper, more personal way. Plus, it's perfect for individual or small group study. So don't miss out on what God wants to say to you. Request your copy of Hearing the Voice of God today. It's our gift to you when you support Daily Hope and help share the gospel with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. And again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.